Father in heaven, we need more of you. We need more of you this morning. We lay our cares down at your feet. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Sing unto him this morning.
I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you, Lord, more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you.
Sing that again.
I need you more. Oh, more than yesterday. I need you, Lord. More than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you.
Sing all together, I need you more.
I need you more.
More than yesterday.
More than yesterday. I need you, Lord.
More than words.
More than words can say. I need you more.
Than ever before.
Than ever before. I need you, Lord.
Do it again. Hallelujah.
I need you.
I need you more.
I
in life is coming to an awareness of what God has called us to. In life, there are bumps. There are things that happen. But focus is of utmost importance to continue to stay, to fulfill the mandate of the Lord. And the word that I bring to us this morning is in that regards. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, there is much for me to cover this morning. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning to read from the 13th verse, the Lord stands before his disciples in a place called Caesarea Philippi. He asks his disciples a simple question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What are people saying about me? They said, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you are Elias. Some others are saying that you are Jeremiah, one of the prophets. They are associating you with something that has happened or somebody that has been here before. You'll like that. But the word of the Lord at the very beginnings of the statements of God's calling was, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And in Mark 11, when Peter was saying, let's build three tabernacles, God says, oh, no. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. He's not like Elijah. He's not like Moses. He's not like anybody else. This is my Son. So the Lord asked his disciples, okay, I've heard about what they say, but who do you say? See, the important thing in this life is about you and I recognizing personally who the one we're standing before is. It's not that person. It's not that person. It's not that person. Who do you say that I am? Because judgments are made only based on the natural. The Lord Jesus Christ says, he says, a prophet is not honored except in his own hometown. He's not respected and honored. And so he was not able to do much in his own hometown. Because familiarity brings you to a place where you do not function with the insight, the supernatural insight and understanding of the grace on a life. So he said, who do you say I am? And Peter responds and says, thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're not just the one that I'm walking around every day, the one that I see doing miracles. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. That's what I see. And the response of Jesus, you're blessed, Simon Bar Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. My Father revealed this to you. My Father, which is in heaven, revealed to you who I really her. And on the basis of this, Peter, I'm going to build my church. I will. Watch this. And I say unto thee, Peter, you that has this revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, says that thou art Peter. In recognizing who I am, you are getting upgraded. You're not just a stone. You are now a rock. And I'm going to build my church on your realization of who really I am. Somebody shout hallelujah. It says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Firstly, yes, he says, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. But most times we miss the point. The Christ, what is the Christ? Christ is the anointed one. Christ is the one that is crushed and is bringing forth the oil of his anointing. Christ is the one who came not to serve his own purposes, but to serve the purposes of God, which was to bring restoration to his people. Christ. And basically what the Lord was saying deeper yet was this. On the foundation of you recognizing, yes, that I am the sent one, and on the foundation of you recognizing that as the sent one, I am going to use your life to serve, because the Christ came not to serve himself, he came to serve us. And so the Lord was saying, on the basis of service, I'm going to build my church. A church that doesn't have people that serve, it's a church that will collapse. Your service causes the church of God to continue to flourish. Your commitment to serve, your commitment to continue in the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit, is what causes the church to prevail. It says the gates, the government of hell, shall not prevail against that church. That's the revelation of who the Christ is. The disciples asked Jesus, he said, how are we going to do the works of God? How are we going to serve? He says, believe in the one that is sent. Believe in the one that is sent. He says, that's how you're going to do the works of God. Part of the reason why we have not been able to accomplish the purpose of God is that we have not believed in the one that is sent. First of all, Jesus. But also those that he has sent in the assignment of doing the will of God. They did not receive miracles in Nazareth, in his hometown, because they did not believe that he was the sent. He was just Mary's son. Peter went past Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets, to recognize in who Jesus is. You see, because you see, that statement, thou the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus had already said those words to them in the past. But they did not come to do recognition, even though he was saying it. They did not come to the recognition that that which he was saying was not just words, but that that was the definition of who he was. We must not live by sight, but live by faith, the faith of the Son of the living God. He says, To you, Peter, who's gotten the revelation that I am the Christ, and to everyone that's come to the revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I am going to give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever, because you now have the keys, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. A proper translation of that particular verse, more detailed, will be whatsoever thou shalt bind, having been bound in heaven, shall be bound in the earth. And whatsoever you shall loose, having been loosed in the heavens, shall be loosed in the earth. Because thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Are we together so far? So God is saying to us, at the recognition of the sent, the Christ, the Son of the living God, you are going to see the will of God in heaven made manifest in the earth. Are we together so far? Now, time does not permit me to go more in detail about this binding and loosing, because there's more details in there. He says, then charge his disciples. This is the strangest part of this particular passage. He says he charged his disciples that he should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Why? Why wouldn't you want to know? Want people to be told that you are Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Because there are certain things. Are you ready for this? There are certain revelations that must come from God. Did you hear that? There are certain things that must come directly from the mouth of God to the heart of a person. Not based on what man said. The most important part of this service today, and any service, is not just what I say. It is what God unlocks inside of your spirit. Because what I say you may forget, but what God says burns deep within you. Now, you have to contend to keep it. Let me say that again. You have to contend to do what? Keep it. Because just as soon as God gives you the revelation that should bring you to a place where you are fully equipped to do the will of God, there comes an enemy that wants to steal it from you. And you've got to make a decision yourself. Nobody else can make it for you. You've got to make the decision yourself that you're going to keep that which God said and make it forever relevant in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says, I don't want to tell anybody about this. And so the word of God says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Oh, my Lord God Almighty. From the very moment that they got the revelation that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Bible says he began to show his disciples all the troubles he was going to get through, all the issues and problems that he was going to face. And he's busy telling them all of that. And he says, after he goes on and says, and be killed, meaning death, he says, and be raised again the third day. But they did not hear. Peter, who just received the revelation, thou art the Christ, did not hear. Because, you see, sometimes you get happy because, oh, you just got a powerful word. Your name, upgrade, Peter. And I'm going to build my church. And the keys of the kingdom are going to be released. And you're so excited about that, that you don't know that there is a cost to that experience. Jesus says, I'm going to go through some stuff, but I'm going to rise again the third day. The Bible says Peter took him, grabbed him. Can you imagine? Peter grabs Jesus. And the Bible says, and began to rebuke him. And began to rebuke Jesus. That's the same Jesus that he just said, thou art the Christ. He begins to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. Huh? Lord? This shall not be unto thee. That's a confession of faith. This is not going to happen to you. You are the Christ. Don't you know who you are? I just told you. Didn't you just hear me tell you that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God? You're coming here and telling me you're going to die. Yeah, but didn't you hear? I'm going to rise again on the third day. Don't count me out. I may have a bad day, but the day is not ended yet, because at the end of the day, when the day is ending, I am rising. Hallelujah. Don't count me out. I'm going to rise on the third day. He says, but he turned. Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me. Watch this. Get thee behind me, Satan. Huh? Peter, I'm going to build my church. Now you're calling me Satan? He said, yeah. Get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. What on earth is going on? One moment. You bless, Peter. Blessed art thou, Peter, son of Jonah. Peter by Jonah. Now I'm Satan. Yeah, he said, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You savor him. Do you know to savor? He says, you're savoring natural things that are not the things of God, but those things that be of men. What's going on? How does this man hear the heart of God? If he's savoring the things that be of men, because the workings of God are the workings of grace. the workings of mercy. Man is too complicated, complex. Man wants to blow hot and cold. And he says, listen. If you want to stay in that state, are you listening? If you want to stay in that state where you're not blowing like this, up and down, up and down. One day you're hearing God clearly, and the next day you are the voice of Satan. He says, I tell you what, if any man will come after me, you've got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Go past your feelings. Go past your patterns and just follow Jesus. Because one moment you can be on the right and the next moment you can be totally on the wrong. But if you want to continue to stay on the right, take up your cross, follow me. What did that mean, take up your cross and follow me? Anybody carrying a cross knew that they were carrying the cross to their death. God was saying, if you want to experience me to the fullness, you've got to die to yourself. If you're going to be that servant that serves and has a Christ resting on him or her, you've got to die to your own systems, to your own ways. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life, if you will lose your life for my sake, he says, you're going to find it. You're going to find your life by losing your life to me. Praise the Lord. I pray that as sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we recognize the integrity of that word. That you find yourself by losing yourself to him. That God will enhance and bring to fruition your real you when you surrender you to following him. That's how. That's how you find yourself. That's how you find the integrity of the goodness of God, in surrendering your life and not building your stuff, but rather building his. The resources of God that he's put inside of you come alive through the intensity of life. Yes. The other day I was talking to us about certain wild flowers that show up after a big burn, forest burn. All of a sudden, these flowers, beautiful, beautiful, intricate, beautiful flowers show up. There's just a fire here. Who put these seeds here? Oh, there were seeds that God had put there. And they did not grow because they needed a certain amount of heat to cause that seed to come up. Some of these plants came up because that which was a hindrance to them, they did not have the access to all the rain and the sunshine. And now that the big kahunas, the big guys are burnt up, they come out. The struggles that you and I face set us up for the glorious manifestations of his glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When we lose ourselves, we find ourselves. But the fact is, everybody's trying to make a name for themselves. We go through all kinds of hoops to just be seen. That's when we become like the grass that is here now and tomorrow it's gone. There's no staying power. There's no staying power. But God wants to give us the essence of Himself. And the essence of God's self is that God, I don't know if you're ready for this, God is a servant. That's a little bit much. We cannot wrap our minds around God being a servant, because our understanding of servant means a nobody. But God is a servant. Every time your prayer is answered, God is serving you. A servant is a problem solver. Glory be to God. A servant is a problem solver. If you want to make it in business, you better be a servant. Industries that are built to solve problems make it. And sometimes the servant makes you aware of something that you did not know that you needed until they provided it. Then you recognize, oh wow, I needed this. So a servant becomes a visionary. Praise the Lord. Being a servant of God is a good thing. It means that God has to bring you to a place where you begin to crack through particular stuff. But God doesn't want to keep you and I just in that state of servant. He wants to bring you to a place of friendship. Hallelujah. Where you become a friend. Not only one who is visionary and sees, but a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. That's a good place where God says, I'm no longer going to call you friend, servant. I'm going to call you friend. Because the servant doesn't know everything that his boss is trying to do. But he will tell his friends. You know why? Come closer, come closer. A friend is the person that you chat with about the vision that you have before you tell it to a servant that's going to manifest it. Did you get that? So God says, I want to bring you into that place of intimacy where I start talking about stuff that I want to do before I get to do it. Hello? Oh, I'm not going to go do anything over there in Sodom until I talk it over with my friend. And my friend can come in agreement with me or talk me out of it. That's my friend. My friend is beyond my servant. My servant does what I say. My friend I discuss with about what I want to do, and we can come into agreement or he can talk me out of it. You mean God sometimes wants to be talked out of some stuff? Absolutely. Absolutely. He says to Moses, I'm going to kill all of them. I'm going to kill all of them. I'm killing them right now. And Moses says, hey. Come on. You're going to do what? Kill who? All of them. Everyone. But God, come on. If you kill them, do you know what people are going to be saying about you? That you were not able to bring them into the promised land. That's why you killed all of them. God says, you're right. Do you think for one moment that God did not know what he was talking about? Do you think for one moment that God did not know that Moses was going to say what he said? No, it's about intimacy. It's about relationships. And God saying to us, listen, if you want to be that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that I can use to impact the world, you've got to learn how to let go of yourself and find the integrity of who I am in me. Then I'm going to show you things. And that's what we need today in our world. Men and women that are not about themselves, not about their own kingdom. What they can get. How they can do this and do that to their glory. It says, what is it that a man is going to profit from if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So I tell you what, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. There's a reward. There's a reward that is coming. I'm going to bring it to you. It says, you know what? In fact, there's some of you standing here. We shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What a remarkable statement. But I want you to see something. Son of the living God, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now he introduces another aspect of himself and calls himself the Son of Man. Not just the Son of God, the Son of Man. The Son of Man? Yes. It is the Son of Man that has been elevated, and he's going to come back with a reward. Peter, I just said to you, thou that you are Satan, but I want you to know that I'm working on your case. Because he's going to soon say to Peter, there's an enemy that's coming for you. He says, but I've prayed for you. And you're going to make it. And when you've made it, strengthen your brothers. And the idea is this, that every one of us in this journey that we're going through, God is bringing us to a place where we'll learn things that we need to share with others. Don't keep the revelation of God to yourself. The things that you learn, and just keep it to yourself. Share it with others. Teach others. Help others come into an awareness of who God has called them to be. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter and the 24th verse, the Lord is speaking to his disciples. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." He's been talking about his death. He's just raised Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11, where he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you shall not die." But here it comes. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And the challenge of God to every one of us through those words are these. Listen. Sometimes. And not just sometimes. True to the fact, life increase comes from dying. That kernel of wheat is there by itself, unsown. It's not going to increase. It's a principle of life. Increase comes about by separating, the separation of death. That seed has to be sown for it to go through the process that causes it to bring much forth much fruit. It was first just exactly what it was. A kernel or a corn of wheat, a seed. The question we must ask ourselves this morning is this: what about me is God wanting to go through a death process? Because out of that, God is going to bring about something stupendous, something greater. If I brought you maybe an apple seed or the acorn of an oak tree, you may just see just that one. But God sees a forest. God sees an orchard. You look at your life and you think, it's just me. But God sees much more. But that much more only happens if the seed is sown. Your life sown means a harvest of so many lives being transformed. My life sown means a harvest of so many lives transformed. There are people that I may never meet again. Do not know that my life impacted in one way or the other. But my death meant life to them. Last week, I got a whole bunch of strange calls from people saying, "Oh, my friend used to attend your church. I think he came one time. And He was a drug addict, and you prayed for him, and he got delivered. And he told me, you're having this problem. Go to that man over there. I don't want to scream or what. You got a miracle. How long ago was it? Like 20 years ago? 20 years ago. Didn't see the guy. But he's been delivered for 20 years from an addiction that almost destroyed his life. And now he's pointing to somebody else. You go over there. The other day, somebody says to me, I met this guy. I said, which guy? He mentions the name. I said, I don't seem to remember that name. Oh, he said that he was at Glory and Peace, and you prayed for him, and this happened. His life got changed. I said, huh? Wow, interesting. Has he ever come back? No, he got his miracle. And it dawned on me, people don't go back to hospitals when they are well. Praise the Lord. If the patient has been healed, is still staying in the hospital, oh, we've got a problem. So if your life is just based on miracles, you've got an issue. The fact is that you have to become one who says, no, I am not just going to go to that hospital and be healed. I am going to be used by God to be one that brings healing to those. And it's doctors that stay in the hospital, even though they are not sick. Hallelujah. Because they've got to be there to help those that are coming in that may be sick. Praise the Lord. They expose themselves to all kinds of situations, but they know why they are there. I've got to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. And where is Jesus going to? He's going to die on the cross. But he's not just going to die on the cross. He's going to be raised from the dead the third day. He might be the one. Are you ready for this? He might be the one who raises a Lazarus from the dead on the third day. But he's now the one who can lay his life down and take it back up. He can surrender his life and take it back. Are we together? That is power. That is power. Living or dead, I am still powerful. No matter what, I'm still the it. And God wants to cause us to come to that place that no matter what we are, where we are, no matter what is happening, that we are still in charge, not counted out. Physician, heal thyself. Yes, I can do just that. A man of God, his name escapes me now. The community was dying from a horrible disease, contagious disease. And he knew in himself that he had the capacity in God to bring healing to the people. They would not let him. So he put a culture of that disease on himself. They put the microscope to see what's going to happen. And they found that as those viruses touched him, they all died. Hallelujah. That's the awesomeness of God. I don't know why I can't remember his name right now. John G. Lake. John G. Lake. Do you know there's so much power available to us, embedded in us, that needs to come out? How did he recognize that? He was willing to serve. You don't get empowered without the willingness to serve. And we must not just be willing for a time. We must have staying power to continue. Peter finally got it. That staying power. He was challenged at different times in his life. In fact, so challenged at one time, Paul had to rebuke him. He was hanging around the believers, and when the other group came, he jumped ship. And Peter says, where are you going? Where are you going? You're jumping ship, you wishy-washy. Finally, Peter comes to the place where he was so stable that he wanted to crucify him like Jesus. He said, no, not worthy of that. Crucify me, but crucify me head down. Die, I will die. But I have to give him honor. That same Peter was the one thrown out in prison and he's praising God. The doors open and he goes back to what they said he must not do, preach the gospel. See, you tell me, are we supposed to honor you or honor God? Have you come to that place where you make that decision? I don't care what you have to say about this. I'm going to honor God. In death and in life, I'm going to honor God. You are not going to count me out of that which God has ordained for me to enjoy in Him. That's the word that I have for us this morning by the Holy Spirit. Stay strong. Stay steadfast. Deny yourself. Serve. Give of yourself and your time. God says, that's how I build my church. A people that are totally sold out to God. No matter what happens, I stand here. I will be counted. Those are the kind of people God is looking out for. When He looks out, will He see you standing and saying, God, I'm here. Anything you want. Anything you want. I'm willing to let it be. I'm going to trust you. A people that are like that will never falter. They will never fail. For God will be glorified in them and through them. May we all be that kind of people. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, rise with me. Is there somebody here today that, having heard the word of the Lord, and you're saying in your spirit, Pastor, I want to make that decision to follow Jesus all the days of my life. But I don't want it to just be a confession that I follow through with now and then. I want to have staying power, aggressive, fervent faith to live my life completely to God and not allow Satan any part or portion of my life. Pastor, stand in agreement with me in prayer. If that's you, just raise your hand and I certainly will pray with you. I see all those hands that are raised unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say with me, Father, I surrender my life to you. I belong to you. I will honor you all the days of my life. And I ask, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that I have steadfastness, staying power to continue all the days of my life in honor of your name, declaring that you are sovereign Lord over my life and over every circumstance that I will ever face. I choose you now and always, and I will follow because you have strengthened me to follow. You've graced my life with your loving kindness and your tender mercies, and I will never falter in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. God wants people to be surrendered to his will. God's heart is souls, souls, souls. That's actually the currency of heaven. Here on earth we have gold, silver, money, valuable things, jewels, different things. But heaven, the currency, is souls. God cares for souls and wants us to bring souls to him, that they will not live to themselves, but to live for Christ himself, to live a life of righteousness, to live a life dedicated to God, to serve him from this moment on and to forever. That's the kind of people God wants. And we are these people. We have given our lives to him. We are the currency of God. And currency, if it's invested, will continue to grow. If I'm currency, it's an investment that God has put towards me. He died on the cross. He invested his own life so that many can receive what is due to them, the goodness of God, so that many can receive eternal life, so many can receive abundant life, so many can receive healings, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. There's a list. And when they receive that, they can in return live a life of righteousness. And I thank God for what he's done in my life and into your life. We celebrate God all the time by worshiping him and to help to bring other souls in. He's invested in us so that we bring other souls in. I thank you, everybody, for being here tonight. And if you haven't given your offering or your tithe, it's a good thing to do right now. And I want to look at 2 Corinthians, verse 9, or chapter 9. Verse 7 and 8. Every man according to his purpose, the purpose of his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And I say that very often. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, God provides, may abound to every good work. God will take care of us, even at the worst of times. He gave manna to the people who went through the wilderness. He gave a cloud so that they wouldn't get too much heat on them during the day. He gave a fire so that they wouldn't get cold at night. He gave them water when they were thirsty. He gave them healing when they were ill. In the same way, he serves us today. We do not worry about not having enough. Because at the worst of times, God will provide. So don't be hesitant about giving. I know we do it by faith when those times come. Every giving should be given by faith, knowing that God will give back. So give generously and give according to what your heart tells you. God speaks to the heart, so do as God wants you to do. It was years ago, God just reminded me. Pastor had a certain amount that he wanted to put out. I forget what the purpose was, but it was like 495 cents. $400, 435, I'm just giving out a number. 435 and 95 cents. And like I wanted to give I was making some pretty good money at those days, and I wanted to give a big number. And the Lord had told me 5 cents. And okay, I said, 5 cents? No, I want to give more than that. And since I was out in the back ushering, I didn't have the chance to come in early enough. And the last thing that they needed was 5 cents. The money was collected already, except for the 5 cents. I was the last one who came in, and I gave that nickel. But that was in the obedience of, even if you have much, sometimes God even says 5 cents. So don't be under pressure. Because God, when he says what he wants you to give, that's the obedience that he wants. And he showed me that even if he says 5 cents and you can do $1,000, 5 cents is what you should give. So just honor God, be in obedience to God, and God will supply all of your needs. You don't need to worry. So I thank God for everybody that's here. I thank God for everybody that's online, on Zoom.